So we're going to fit Marvin at 7:15, so we'll stop at 7:10. So what I want to talk about, the title is Yamin Norayim, and particularly what I want to discuss is bathing on Yontif and on Shabbos. Inasmuch as it's a what we call 3-day Yontif, that's really a misnomer, but 3 days of Isra Malacha, so bathing is going to be a very halacha lemaisa question during the Yom HaNorayim, and people are going to want to know for themselves, and they're going to want to know what to say to their neighbor, whether to encourage them to bathe or not. So we're going to discuss this right now. So the first question is, let's start with cold water. Let's start simple. Is there any prohibition at all to take a cold shower, a cold bath, to bathe in cold water on Shabbos? Let's start with that. Should there be any problem? What do you think? If a person wanted to go in the time of the Gemara to go into a river or a lake, what should be the din? I mean, these are concerns. There are issues that you should be, so don't do it. So drip dry. Right? I mean, so you basically, drip dry. Yeah? I mean, I can understand it, but there's no, there isn't such a concern. So the din really is, according to the din min haTorah and the din min derabbanan, is that you're allowed to go into a body of cold water on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. This is, again, I'm talking about in theory. There's a minhag that changes things, but really, according to the regular din min haTorah and din min derabbanan, one is allowed to go into a body of cold water. Of course, one does have to be careful, as you mentioned, not to squeeze out any water from their hair, not to launder anything, not to make things too wet. Maybe they wet the towel too much, and then they're going to they'll squeeze that towel out and violate sochet. So the Shulchan Aruch actually writes, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in Simin Shin Chav Vav in Or Chaim. Simin Shin Chav Vav Siv Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch says if one on Shabbos wants to go down to the Nahar, wants to go down to the river, he can go bathe in the river on Shabbos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's what the Mechaber Paskins. But the Mechaber says that one has to be careful not to violate Shabbos. Besides the ways that we mentioned, but in addition, one also has to be careful not to violate Shabbos by hotza'ah, by carrying. One goes down to the Nar, so maybe there's no Erev, and on Shabbos one might carry various things. What are some of the things one might carry? A towel, and maybe any, soap or stuff, rubber ducky.
Clothing,
okay, things like that. Okay, you have to be careful not to carry. So one of the things that the Shulchan Aruch says also, in addition to all these things, to be careful not to carry, something that no one would have thought of. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to be careful not to carry the water that's on your body. That even water that's on your body, if you walk Dalet Amos in that area, which is presumably a Carmelus, let's say it's a Rosh Hashanah Derabbanan, you can carry that on your body, he says. Now, again, we're talking about you're talking about an extremely weak Darabana, because in all probability, it's not a Shisharabim Daraisa. It's a Shisharabim Darabana. And the Hotzah here is not Letzarech, the water. You're not interested in the water. You couldn't care less about the water. So it's a Malach Hashem Tzricha Legufa. But nonetheless, you have to be careful.
Does it count like you're wearing the water?
Huh? No, it's very interesting. So, of course, the question is, what's the question? Right, what do you do when it rains? I mean, does that mean, according to the Shulchan Aruch, when it rains outside, you're not allowed to go outside if there's no Erev, you're going to be caught in the rain, you're going to be carrying water. So the Mishnah Berurah asks that question, and the Mishnah Berurah is a Mechalik, and he says, there's a distinction, the Rabbanah, when they made the Gzeirah, they made a distinction between water that comes on you, Minah Shemayim, and water that you put on yourself. So when you go into the Nahar, that means you're putting the water on yourself. And that the Rabbanon included in the Gzeirah. Even though it's a very, very weak Issa de Rabbanon, we have to be careful against that. But walking in the rain, that wasn't in the Gzeirah. Yeah?
Is
What about stuff that gets caught on your shoes? Let's say you step in a puddle.
You put that on yourself.
That's you putting it on yourself.
Right.
You
right.
Aren't trying to.
Right. Good question. Let's say on the shoe. Right on the shoe. You step in a puddle, you're going to have the water on your shoe. How would they deal? How would the Shulchan Aruch deal with that question? Yeah, it could be. It could be that the distinction is, it's not enough water. It's probably too little. If you're in the Nahar, you probably have enough water. Because if you look in the Mishnah in Shabbos, it talks about, you know, it's, every malacha has a certain amount of shear. So also that's the chash of a shear. So probably if you're in the Nahar, you put all over your body, so that's enough. So anyway, that's a surprising thing. So you have to be careful. Obviously, if a person, according to this, if there was an Eruv around the Nahar, that he was going into, then this problem would not exist. But the other problems that we mentioned, of making sure not to squeeze water out of one's hair, not making sure not to squeeze water out of the towel, not to launder your towel in the water, all these things, would still apply. And that's how the Mechaber paskins, and that's what we said. However, the Trumas HaDeshen, this is, if you want to look it up, it's in Simen Reish Nun Hei and Simen Reish Nun Vav. Okay, again, Simen Reish Nun Hei and Simen Reish Nun Vav in the Trumas HaDeshen. And the Trumas HaDeshen, he lived from, he was born in 1390 and he died in 1460. He was one of the later Ashkenazic Rishonim, and his name is Rav Yisrael Isserlin. Okay, his name is the Trumas HaDeshen. And in the Trumas HaDeshen, Rav Yisrael Isserlin records an Ashkenazic minhag not to go into a body of water. The Ashkenazim had a minhag not to go into a body of water. Why? Because they were concerned that maybe one might come to squeeze the water out of their hair in such a case, so maybe they'll squeeze the water out of the towel. It's a ton of water. You go into the body of water, that's a lot of water. So they were concerned that you might come to various Isurim. And because of all the complications of going into a body of water in an Nahar, so Ashkenazic minhag is not to go into a body of water. So Sephardim do not have that minhag. Sephardim say it's okay. But Ashkenazim have this minhag, the Trumas HaDeshen says, and it's recorded La halacha in the Magen Avram. If you look in the Magen Avram, it's in Or Chaim, Simen Shin Chaf Vav, Sif Ches, Sif Katan Ches, again, Shin Chaf Vav, Sif Katan Ches. It's recorded La halacha there, and it's also recorded in the Mishneh Berurah La halacha. If you want to look it up, it's in Simen Shin Chaf Vav, Sif Katan Chaf Aleph. And Simon Shin Chavav Sifkaton Chav Aleph, and moreover, the way the minhag is brought down is that this minhag is true bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Yom Tov, and if you want to just look where the for more on that, and that it's bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Yom Tov, if you can look it up in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, in Simon Yud Dalad Sif Aleph, that this minhag is bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Yom Tov. But again, this is for Ashkenazim. Sephardim don't have such a minhag. Yeah. Oh, we're getting there. Good. Yeah. What was the question? Yeah.
What about the commoner to go to a mikvah on Shabbos?
So the question is being raised is what about a mikvah? So the difference is the minhag is not to go in for rechitza, but for ritual immersion, it's for mikvah, for tefillah. That was okay.
Wouldn't the problem of carrying water still apply?
I'm sorry?
The carrying water and drying off, that would still apply.
You have to be careful. Yeah, you still have to be careful against doing those things, but the minhag not to do it didn't apply to ritual immersion. In other words, a person would still have to be careful, obviously, going to mikvah. They can't squeeze the water out of the hair. They cannot squeeze the water out of the towel. But they would be able to go. The tricky part is that who is really considered doing proper ritual immersion for mikvah? In other words, women do go to mikvah on Shabbos. They'll go Friday night to a mikvah, and they really are being matar themselves from tumas nida. But men, there are some men who go every day, and they'll go even on Shabbos. And what are they really accomplishing? That's the question. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this din. Originally, Ezra was misakein that a Baal Keri cannot daven and cannot learn Torah until he goes to mikvah. Okay, basically, the Baal Keri is anyone who has a Keri, a seminal emission, whether it's bemazed or not, whatever it is. That person says Ezra is mitaken. They have to go to mikvah before they daven, or before they learn. That was the original takana Ezra. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, the Gemara records, overturned that takana as mavatal the takana. He nullified that decree, and it's no longer such a din, and that's why men are not going to mikvah on a regular basis, and there's no din anymore for men to go to mikvah to remove the din of keri. The question that's often raised, we saw him talk about this: how can Rav Yehuda ben Beseira overturn the takana of Ezra? There's a klal. If you guys have learned the first daf of Maseches Megillah, so on Megillah daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara records a very important principle with regard to takanas. The Gemara says, "Ain based in Yachol Levatel, divrei based in Shel Chavero, Ela im kein gadol mimenu b'chachma v'minyan." That's the psak in the Gemara there, that a later Beis Din cannot overturn the ruling of an earlier Beis Din unless the later Beis Din is greater in numbers and in their own stature. So how can Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, who's great Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, but still compared to Ezra, how can he overturn it? So the Rishonim answer that din that I just mentioned to you, Vein Beis Din Yochal Levatel Divrei Beis Din Shel Chavero, Elim Kein Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma V'Minyan, that din does not apply when the original legislation, when the original takana, was not mispashet b'rov Yisrael, when it wasn't widespread. In other words, the din only applies, that limitation only applies when everybody accepted, or Klal Yisrael basically accepted the takana and became entrenched in Klal Yisrael. But if Klal Yisrael never really accepted the takana in the first place, then the takana was never considered a stable takana to begin with. And even a later Beis Din can overturn it. And that's what they say. Ezra's takana was too radical for Am Yisrael. It was never really accepted. It was never really followed. And therefore, Rav Yehuda ben Beseira was able to overturn the takana. Yeah?
According to the Shulchan Aruch, assuming there is no grounded nahar, how is it possible to take a bath in there and somehow both not violate squeezing the water of your hair and not violate carrying the water on? It seems like it's impossible to actually do it.
I think a person probably have to go in, right, submerge, and then when they come out, Hotzah is walking 4 amos, right? So it's like 2 meters, around 8 feet. So you'd have to probably drip dry, right? So if it's a hot day, if it's a cold day, probably there isn't that much motivation anyway to take the shower, to take the bath. Excuse me. But if it's a hot day, so presumably the guy would dry off pretty fast. So I imagine that, yeah.
Isn't
at least the sea,
maybe not with us, considered
Kamalas? Yeah, I'm saying it's
a Kamalas. Meaning, even if there was an Ewa, I'm fine, but also it said that the Minna was whether on Shabbos or on Yom Tov.
Right. Yeah, but the minhag of Ashkenazim wasn't because of the word about Hotzah. They worried more about the schita and the malabin, the laundry.
Those things, so those aren't permissible Yom Tov labors.
Right. Yeah.
So why can men go if there's not a ritual?
Right. So back to the original question. I mean, if Rav Yehuda ben Beseira overturned it, so there's no more din of tefillah. So it makes when men go to mikvah on Shabbos, those who have such a minhag, it's a little bit more questionable to call that ritual immersion. It's a little strange, but where the minhag is, but we allow it. I mean, it's talked about that it's allowed. What's even more complicated is generally when they go to the mikvah, it's warm water, which is even more of a problem, which we'll get to in a minute. But immersing in cold water is not a simple thing.
So perhaps the consensus was the proper thing to do. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira maybe overturned it because it was just like, you know, people couldn't handle it for whatever reason, maybe hard to get a mikvah, but possibly it still is means to see this to purify oneself from carry. And it's like especially, you know, Roy for married men.
Yeah, but what would be the, in other words, okay, it could be, okay, you know, but in terms of any halachic, if you point to a halachic, you know, there's an interesting question. Let's change the question around. Rav Lichtenstein once talked about, is there a mitzvah to be tahar? Is there a mitzvah to be tahar? Yeah, generally, besides for preparing for karbanos, we should walk around tahar. He didn't think so. He, in terms of this, too, you know, it's, except for the particular ramifications of truma or kachim, you know, or ma'aseh sheni or things like that, a kachi kalim. So he didn't think that there was such a din. But others obviously do. I mean, you know, in the Hasidish world, they do recognize that. But I'm just saying that's part of the question. That's part of the question that we're grappling with. An interesting, but just a side point. On Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippurim, so why do we go to mikvah? Why the Shulchan Aruch records a minhag to go to mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippurim? Why? So there are various answers, but just one of the answers that were given, for example, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav HaRashi of Yerushalayim, once wrote in a Sefer Har Tzvi, he said that that he thought that one might argue that Klal Yisrael did not accept the takanas of Ezra the whole year, except for Erev Rosh Hashanah Erev Yom Kippurim. For Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, that they felt, yes, we're going to be machmir about this then. And therefore, Rav Yehuda ben Maaseh could not overturn the takana with regard to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. And those dinam are real dinam, and therefore we have to be machmir to do it. There's even one day in Gaonim to make a bracha, particularly by Erev Yom Kippurim. But we don't pass now.
I don't know if this was in Mishnah, but I was learning the Mishnahs of the Alta Mishnahs of Brachos. After this Takana, it said that the reason for this Takana, they didn't want Torah scholars to basically be having relations too often, then, which is why he made it. So, meaning there was nothing but a din also of it from the thing itself.
Right, from that perspective.
That
right.
Now,
right. The only thing is, if you look in the Gemara in Brachos, said, when he talks about the reason for Takanas Ezra, so the Gemara says that what was the reason that Bechorev ma Bechorev it was be'ema b'yir of arrests of Isaiah, so too Talmud Torah should be'ema b'yir of arrests of Isaiah. And Rabbi Soloveitchik used to point out that the very nature of Talmud Torah has to be like Kabbalah Satorah, and has to be with fear and awe and trembling. And he said that a Baal Keri, the way Ezra understood it as a Baal Keri, could not be in what Rabbi Soloveitchik called the mood to learn Torah. He didn't have the right mood. The mood has to be with great awe and Kabbalah Samach Shammai and Ba'im of Yir Vareses of Zayah.
So that's
what Gemara said, yeah.
He wanted them to be able to be, I mean, he like punished them and saying, because you need to be in that mode, therefore, if you are not in that mode, I won't let you learn Torah.
Okay.
The way
I understand there's different ways of looking at it.
I mean, you could say that.
But Rabbi Soloveitchik was the way Rabbi Soloveitchik was formulating was that the Baal Keri himself, just the very fact of Keri. That's the way he formulated. I understand what you're saying.
You're talking about like Ezra.
I understand.
And so if that reason, if for you to say things that reason didn't apply, then if you could say that. Yeah.
Either he held the reason didn't apply, people couldn't handle it. That's part of the question. But anyway, we'll talk about it. So in any event, as I said, to go into a body of cold water, the Ashkenazim have a minhag not to go in. So a question was posed to Moshe Feinstein: what's the story with showering, a cold shower, on Shabbos? Is that also included in the minhag? So if you look in Igros Moshe, it's Chelek Dalad of Orachaim. Simen Ayin Hay. Again, Igros Moshe Chelek Dalet, Orachaim, Simen Ayin Hay. So Rav Moshe Feinstein addresses this question, and he says that many people think that the minhag of Ashkenazim is just like you can't go into a body of cold water, so too you can't take a shower with cold water. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says the phrase that he uses in his Igros Moshe is this minog is a minog bita'os. That's the phrase, a minog bita'os. It's a mistaken minog.
The entire
minog. The minog of not showering. You know, you can't shower with cold water. He said, going into cold water, that's our minog. That's the minog of Ashkenazi. But, he said, to extend it to showers, he said, that's a ta'os. No one, that wasn't the original. There was no showers at the time. And the minog, you have to be very strict. What exactly were the parameters of the minog? And that's it. Now, minog, of course, we have to follow. The Rambam writes in his introduction to the Mishneh Torah that, so obviously we follow the Torah laws because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us the Torah laws. And we follow the Dinei Rabbanan. Why? Why do we have to follow the Rabbanan? Because Hashem told us to follow the Rabbanan. It says, and why do we have to follow Minhagim? So the Rambam says that also Minhagim are included under the rubric of Lotosim and Adav Ashigid Elohim Minusmal. That's the Rambam in the Hakdama to the Mishneh Torah. So we have to follow the Minhag. But if the Minhag is only immersing in cold water, so that doesn't extend to showers. So Moshe Feinstein says that therefore it's mutter to shower with cold water on Shabbos and Yontif. But he says that inasmuch as there is such a minog by people, it's mistaken, but there is such a minog, he says you should only do it if you really need to. Don't do it cavalierly, but if you need to, if there's a tzarech, then you can.
But isn't there an issue of liquid soap versus cold
water? We'll talk about that. I mean, now I'm just talking about the pure question of just going into the cold water. Now, the next question is, so we know that Sfardim are allowed to go into a body of cold water on Shabbos and Yontif and shower with cold water on Shabbos. Ashkenazim are not allowed to go to a body of cold water for rechitza purposes, but they can shower with the cold water on Shabbos and Yontif. Now, what's the deal with hot water? What's the story with hot water? Why should there be any difference? So if you look in the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, so the Gemara records over there something very interesting. That there was a culture of going into warm baths during the time of the Gemara. They would actually go into warm water as part of Oneg Shabbos. They would go to a bathhouse. You know, I don't know. They would have Shachris Musaf. You know, maybe a little Kiddush. Go to the bathhouse, then have the lunch, or maybe the lunch and then the bathhouse. I don't know. Maybe mincha, lunch, mincha, and then the bath. I'm not sure. I'm sure there are different families with different minhagim. But they did this, and it was considered very enjoyable. It was Oneg Shabbos. However, the Gemara records that the bathhouse attendants, known as balonim, they were getting lazy, and they started cooking up the water on Shabbos. Originally, it was all warmed up before Shabbos, and then it was left, and it stayed warm. But they started cooking it up on Shabbos, violating, of course, the Malacha Bishul. And the Bali Gemara record that Chazal were very unhappy with this, obviously, and they made a gzeira, a very wide gzeira, saying that we cannot go into go upon us even hot water, chamin it's called, on Shabbos. Okay, gzeiras habalonim, because basically the concern is that maybe we'll heat up the water on Shabbos. So that means even if the water was heated up before Shabbos, we can take a hot bath or a hot shower on Shabbos because of this gzeira. And it's the iser is the rechotz kol gufo. That's the point. Okay, to have the whole body is a problem. And by the way, the Gemara and the Rishonim understand, there's afilu ever. In other words, even if I go limb by limb, let's say I'll be smart. I'll put my right arm in to the hot water, and then the left arm, you know, and then the leg, and the other leg, and then the torso, and the head, and we're you know. So I didn't put the whole body in one shot. So the answer is no, that even ever, if it basically amounts to most of the body, then it's a problem. Okay, so that's called the Xeris HaBalanim. There's a particular problem with hot water on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, continues and says that this gzeira, it's also usur on yontif too. Bein b'shabbos, bein b'yontif. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Simen Tov Kuf Yud Aleph, Sif Beis. It's Tov Kuf Yud Aleph, Sif Beis. So he says that if the water is heated up on Yontif, so then, forget it. It's also, no matter where you are, whether you're in the bathhouse or whether you're in the privacy of your home, it's prohibited. But if the water, says the Mechaber, if the water is heated up on Erev Yontif, then the Mechaber says it's only forbidden in the Merchatz. It's only forbidden in the bathhouse. But in the privacy of one's home, there's no gzera to utilize the hot water. What's the distinction? Because they were makel in this case because the balonim are not in your house, they're only in the bathhouse. This on Yontif. For Yontif. Okay? This is the Mechaber. Okay. Now the Ramah, so the Mechaber is a little more makel on Yontif. If the water was heated up again before Yontif. The Ramah is more machmir. The Ramah writes that no, whether the water is heated up on Yontif or whether the water is heated up on Erev Yontif, the gzera is b'chol makom, whether it's in the bathhouse or whether it's in the privacy of one's home, the gzera still stands. The gzera on Shabbos is the same gzera on Yontif. It's all there. It's all together. We're not machak between Shabbos and Yontif. The Ramban basically says that we go there Yontif to Shabbos. The Chazal were concerned if we allowed it on Yontif, so then people will go ahead and do it on Shabbos too. So it goes to Yontif of Shabbos, huh? Right, but you know what the answer is, right? Right. You saw Tosfos, right, and Gittin. It's Kula Chad Gzeir. Okay. So now it's important to point out over here and put in perspective a little bit that we're talking about an Issur D'Rabbanan, correct? And there are rules that govern Issurei D'Rabbanan. One of the rules is that b'makom tzar, what's the rule? B'makom tzar, lo gazur be'rabbanan. In a situation where there's pain and discomfort, so the Rabbanan said that their legislation should not apply to such people. Okay? So there are certain leniencies when there's great pain in certain cases. So the bir halacha, this is in Simen Shin Chav Vav, Sif Aleph, again, Simen Shin Chavav Sif Aleph. So the Bir Halach over there quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger, who says this then. He says that this gzeira of not going into hot water on Shabbos and Yontif only applies to people who are, you know, regular people. But if you're in pain, if you're mitztayer, if you're really in a lot of pain, you know, real discomfort, then we're makel.
The gzeira is warmed up on Yontif, or the gzeira is warmed up?
Well, in this case, if it's Erev, for Erev. Because on Shabbos and Yontif, it's more chumar. That's a little high level. But if it's if it was warmed up Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, then Rav Kivega said it would be Mekel in such a case. Now, just to understand, this doesn't help us a whole lot. It sounds like it helps, but it doesn't help a whole lot because today, the way our plumbing works in our homes, if we turn on, let's say, the hot water in our shower, in a home. So the hot water exits the boiler, okay? And what happens? It creates a vacuum, and the boiler pulls in cold water. And that water cooks inside the boiler. So first of all, on Shabbos, what would that cause? Bishul. Okay, the boiler itself, even if the fire is not on at this moment, or the electricity is not on in the boiler, but the boiler is a kli rishon. And it's going to mevashel. Kli Rishon is mevashel on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, you don't gain, so it's going to be a problem. And on Yontif, it's also going to cook. And there's also a shaila, which we're going to see, even though on Yontif there is a het, of course, bishel is allowed, but it's fundamentally allowed for food. Shalol letzarech ochel nefesh, it's only allowed if it's something that everyone enjoys and will benefit from, which we're going to talk about. And it's not clear whether showering is something that's considered a davar shavu l'chol nefesh, which we'll get into. But I'm just trying to point out, it's not so, it doesn't necessarily help us. The one thing that you could do that would go a long way in helping to generate a leniency would be to shut the valve for the cold water going into the boiler. So that means that when you would open up the hot water, hot water would come out, but no cold water would go into the boiler, and you wouldn't be cooking anything. Of course, if you do that, so how is hot water going to exit your boiler, right? If you ever take a straw, you put it into a cup of water, and then you put your thumb on top and lift it up, what happens? Right, the water comes up with the straw. Why doesn't it come out? No, there's pressure, right? So if you shut the cold water valve for entry, so how is the hot water going to exit from the boiler? Yeah.
So according to that logic,
Oh, wait a second. So let me just answer the question. Hold on. I'm gonna get that. So I spoke to a water engineer about this. Yeah, there are engineers for everything. So there is a water engineer here in Alon Shvat who told me that boilers are made with an added valve to let air in, just in case. Why? Because if they didn't have that valve, like a little hole, then what could happen to your boiler if it overheats? It'll explode. So to prevent that from happening, there's a little escape for that pressure. And that, he said, would allow water to exit in such a case. So people have done it. That's one eitzah. Yeah?
Is it only an issue if the water is hot enough that it would be considered bishul? Like if it's just warm water?
Right, yes, absolutely. In terms of the bishul issues, correct. There is someone here in Alon Shvat, a big Eloy, a tremendous Talmid Chacham and Tzaddik, who, when he built his home, he had he built it in such a way that he had created two boilers, a regular boiler for everyday usage, and a special boiler for Shabbos and Yontif, where the water there never ever gets to Yatza Lettuce, never gets to 110 degrees Fahrenheit, never to 43 degrees centigrade, never. So, and right before Shabbos Yontif, he turns the valve and he shifts the water usage from his regular boiler to this boiler, and that's what he does. This way his wife or he can wash the dishes and use the water, and they don't have to worry that they're cooking anything.
Put in a regular boiler, even if you're using lukewarm water, then the water that comes in will be heated.
Right, correct. In a regular boiler, though, even lukewarm coming out is obviously because real hot water exited, correct. Again, in theory, if you could somehow program your boiler before Shabbos that it shouldn't get too high, if you can change the thermostat, you know, I guess you could do that. Okay, in any event, the question was about apartments.
Yeah.
Apartments might be different in terms of this question, because sometimes the way the water exits, it's not necessarily so that new cold water is going to go in. Sometimes the way it works is that when the general boiler that's servicing the apartments reaches a certain level, then new water comes in, and not before. So it's not because when everyone is using it, new cold water is coming in. It doesn't work that way. So that would be very helpful in this regard. If a person is mitztayer, so the gzeira wouldn't apply, and then he could turn on the hot water, and not get into this problem. On Yontif, for sure, it'd be okay. Shabbos, there are other complications with hot water, because when you use hot water coming out of your shower, so if you have it only on hot, just the hot, right, then you probably die if you go in the water. But, and if you add cold water, then what are you doing? Then you're cooking the cold water at the shower head, right? So in Shabbos it would work. Yontif, I think you would be better. It would be better. But still, even then, you're cooking water there at the showerhead point. You know, so maybe you're still getting into problems of cooking on Yontif. The cold water. It's not a simple thing. It's not so simple. This solution. Yeah.
Showering is not considered Shabbos.
Maybe. I'm going to get to it. I'm going to talk about it. Okay. Now. Okay, so what might be a better eitzah? So let's first talk about on Yontif. What would the problem be of cooking up water on Yontif? Okay, let's leave Shabbos out of this for now. for Shabbos, the probably the only thing a person can do on Shabbos if they want to bathe is cold water. That's nistama, the only thing a person is going to be able to do, unless they literally heated up water before Shabbos and then let it sit and let it, you know, just get warm and then use that warm water when they're mitzvah, because they're really sick. But barring something like that, where it's in a, like in a tub and they just put the water on themselves, Shabbos is only cold water. So Yontif, what's the problem of utilizing and cooking hot water on Yontif? So let's just quickly review. We did talk about previously that on Yontif there's an Issur Malacha. The Torah says Kol Malachas Avodah Lo Ta'asu, but the Torah says that Ochel Nefesh is permitted. The Torah says Ach Ashe Yochel Ochel Nefesh Hu Levado Yaseh Lachem. And we mentioned that the classic Malachos of Ochel Nefesh are Bishul, Hava'ora, creating for our purposes, transferring a fire, carrying, and Shechita. So there's a major debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Do we say that these Heterim are only for the purposes of Ochel Nefesh, or even once it's Mutter, do we say, okay, now it's Mutter Shalol Tzarech Ochel Nefesh? So Beis Shammai is Machmir and says, no, it's only good, you can only use these Malachos for food, for cooking for food. And Beis Hillel, who we paskin like, says mitoch. It's a famous psak. He says mitoch shehutro letzorach ochel nefesh, hutanami shelo letzorach ochel nefesh. That's the famous din. But the only thing that the Gemara qualifies, the Gemara says that no, this is only good, this is only true that we say mitoch when the particular usage is a davar hashove lechol nefesh. It's something that everyone would join. It's considered basic. It has to be considered basic. So the example that's considered basic is rechitzas panav yadav raglav, washing one's hands, face, and feet. So if one, let's say on Yontif, would cook up water, not for tea and not for coffee, but just to wash their hands, face, and feet, so that's okay. That's considered a dav hashav lechol nefesh. It's considered basic, and that's fine. So the question obviously is
hands limited to
yeah, hands just basically. Hands. I guess I don't know. It's a good question. How far? I don't know. That's for our purposes what we call hands. But the real question is, Bizman Hazeh, a lot of people think, the person on the street would probably say, that a full body bath or shower is now basic. Hands, face, and feet, that's not enough, that's not sufficient. You gotta wash your, you gotta have a proper shower. That's considered basic. So it's a big debate. When you speak to Poskim, people are very nervous about this. Rav Lichtenstein said he wasn't so convinced that it is a davar shavu chol nefesh. But a lot of people sense that it is. And if you look in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasah, so the Shmir Shabbos, I'll just give you some sources. This is in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasah, for example, Simin Yudalev. If you look in Sif Katan Chaf Aleph, he talks about this, and in other places he mentions it, that maybe he really would argue that a full body shower or bath would be considered a davar shavu lechol nefesh, and therefore you'd be allowed to cook up the water for that purpose on Yontif. The Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasah. He says, he thinks that that's a good argument to be made for that. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal, said that perhaps, he goes, Efshar, that people who are really verschwitzt, they're really perspiring, they're very sweaty, that group of people, for them it might be considered a davar shavel chol nefesh, for them to shower. A person's all perspiring, what, for him he's going to wash his hands, face, and feet? It's not enough. Right? He wouldn't think it's enough, and probably the people around him wouldn't think it's enough. So it's considered basic for this person. So, but it's still, it's not such a simple question. And moreover, you're still getting into the problem of the gzeira of not going into a bath. The Ashkenazim don't go in. We can't go into a hot bath. Sfaradim would be allowed to, according to this, but Ashkenazim would not be allowed to. What about a shower? A shower would be okay, according to this. A shower, because remember that we said the minhag doesn't apply to the showering. Just the minhag of going into a body of water that we started off with, right? But there's still the gzeira, right? This gzeira still exists, that on, we're not allowed to use hot water on our bodies to put it on all our bodies, not on Shabbos, not on Yontif. Why not on Yontif? After Shabbos. So we're still stuck. The only time a person would be okay if he's really mitzdayer, like we mentioned, Rabbi Kiveger, the Bialach quoting him. But barring that, if he's not really uncomfortable, maybe we'd have no heter. On the other hand, a lot of people, when they do this, when they on a 3-day yontif, they get on Rosh Hashanah, by the second day, maybe they are mitzvah. I don't know. So before I take questions, we're almost running out of time. Let me finish up. I want to make a suggestion that I think that everyone would be happy with. If you look in the Shaar HaTzion, in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shaar HaTzion, this is in Siman Tov Kuf Yud Aleph, Sifkaton Chaf Hey. Tov Kuf Yud Aleph, Sifkaton Chaf Hey. So in the Shaar HaTzion, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Meir and the Noda Behuda that they say that to warm up water on Yontif, to cook up water on Yontif, to remove the coldness from the water. In other words, you want to bathe in the water, but you don't want to be bathing, in freezing water. So you want to cook up the water to take away the sting of the cold water. It's called lahafig et sinatan. That's the phrase. Lahafig et sinatan means to take away the coldness and the freezingness of the water. Basically, what you want to do is you're cooking up water to convert so you may have hot water and you'll pour it into the cold water, so the cold water will be what we would call, let's say, tepid. Okay, not lukewarm, but tepid. It's I would call it non-cold water. Okay, not warmish water, not lukewarm, but rather call it non-cold water. So that's considered basic. So what I would like to suggest is the following. The gzeira only applies to bathing in hot water, okay, or warm water. But if a person would turn on a shower on Yontif and first turn on the cold water, and then turn on slowly, as carefully as they can, they would turn on the hot water just to take the sting out of the cold water. So now when they go in, they're taking a non-painful shower. If you're in pain, you can add a little bit more hot water. Until you're not having the time of your life in there, but you're not in any pain. You can handle it. It's fine. You're taking a shower. It's fine, and you bathe in such a fashion. And this would not violate the gzeira because it's not hot water. It wouldn't violate the minhag of going into a body of cold water because this is a shower. And according to the Shaar HaTzion, the Beis Meir and the Noda Behuda say this is davar shavu l'chol nefesh. It's fine. It would seem to be to satisfy all opinions. One thing that you could also add, this is what we're going to have. Yeah.
Is that not still bishul? The water's coming through bishul, and then we've got a question bishul.
Yeah, but on Yontif,
according to
Shetzi, it's okay.
Not freezing.
Right.
What about soaps as in shower?
Oh, good. Okay, so we have a few more minutes. So let's talk about the rest of the ma'arech. So now you're in a non-cold shower. Okay. We're talking on Yontif. Okay? So if anyone wants to bathe over this three-day period of Issa, do it on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? On Shabbos, you can only be limited to a cold water shower. So let me just finish this up and then we'll take questions. So with regard to soap, you can only use liquid soap. You can't use a bar of soap. Bar of soap would be a violation of Memachek and Memareach. These are Avos Melachos and Toldos. So, but you've used liquid soap, you're okay. You can use shampoo, obviously liquid shampoo we're talking
body
about,
wash.
Obviously.
Like
huh?
Like body wash, not like
yeah.
On your hands.
What?
Yeah.
It's a liquid, yeah. The only thing is you have to be careful that when you lather it in, whether it's to your hair or to other parts of the body, you have to be careful not to pull out hair. So it has to be done gently, okay, very, very, very gently. So you do not end up pulling out any hair, which would be a violation of gozes, okay, which is another malacha. Moreover, after you shower off, be careful. You don't want to when you're going to remove the soap, make sure you're not going to squeeze any of the soap out of your hair, okay. Like rub it off. Let the water from the shower just remove it from you, okay, or gently, let it go onto your You know, but don't press down, because otherwise you're going to be squeezing water out. So you have to be careful with these things. After that's all done, now you want to dry off. What do you do? So there are some, like the Maharam Wittenberg, and this is recorded in the Ramah, that the Maharam Wittenberg was very nervous about malabing. That any time, like for example, he would wash his hands in Tehillas Yadayim for bread on Shabbos, he would knock the water off his hands. He would go like this to knock all the water off before he would use a towel, because he was worried that he would it's considered laundering the towel, because he's putting water on the towel. And the Ramah records that there are some who, it's good to be machmir this way, and Rabbi Salavejik did it, and Rabbi Lichtenstein is also machmir this way. With paper towels, you don't have to worry. There's no laundering of paper towels. But most poskim do not pask in this way. We generally are not so concerned. We usually assume that drying your hands is what's called derech lichloch. It's considered dirtying the towel, not laundering it. If your roommate used a towel, he took a freshly laundered towel, took a shower, dried himself off with it during the week, and then hung it up to dry. And now you want a shower. Are you going to take the one that's in your drawer, freshly laundered, or the one that he freshly laundered on his back? Right? It gets dirty and smelly. Everyone knows that after a while, the towel needs to be laundered. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus Paskins this way, that it is considered Derech Lichluch, and therefore you can towel dry. But make sure the towel is a thicker towel and not something that's very thin. If it's very thin, it's going to get very wet, and then you're going to get into the problem of Xavier Shema Yiskot, you might come to squeeze it out. But if it's a thicker towel, or if you want to use lots of towels, so none of them get too wet, then you're okay.
But hair is the big one.
You got to be very careful with the hair. You can pat it or gently, very very gently, rub against the hair. But
that's more careful than the rest of your body.
Obviously. Yeah, yeah. Wherever part of the body is hair, you have to be very careful not to pull out any hair. Yeah.
So the heter you mentioned before, alban yenter, if someone's in the star. So how exactly does one define being the star? Are there guidelines? Is it case by case?
It's probably case by case. Yeah, if a person feels very uncomfortable, they can't, you know, they feel they can't handle this. This is just really, really upsetting to them.
Do you have to ask somebody, or?
No, I think if you feel it, you just really, it's upsetting to you. It's very, very uncomfortable. That's called tzar. Okay? Oh, yeah?
What's the definition of
derech? Derech means this is the derech of dirtying.
Stops.
Right, not laundering. Yeah.
You intentionally called him star.
I didn't hear you.
You intentionally called him star. Do you like run around the mud and say, "Oh, it's star now"? Do it, or is that?
Interesting. I don't know. Interesting. I don't know. Go for a little long walk and.
Maybe.
Okay, last question, because we're going to tomorrow.
Method, would that be different? Whether you're keeping a one-day anthem
for this purpose, you should be just as careful. Just as careful. All right. Erev Tov. Everyone have a Tzivut Tzimah Tov and a Shana Tov.